Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in everyday life. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We are so excited to be here today.
Yeah.
We're feeling very joyful.
Joyful. Very joyful.
Okay. I'm here with Pastor David and Pastor Bob. Mm-hmm. We're both wearing green.
I almost can't contain myself. I'm so joyful.
I'm green with joy. And no.
You're envious of joy.
Apparently someone thought we were all wearing green, but then I'd tell them this is not green. But
it's not?
It's okay.
Oh. It looks close to green.
Well, it's okay.
We should take a random sampling from all the people that watch this.
And yeah, this is just for this is an inside joke for the people that are watching the podcast, not just listening.
Right.
Oh.
You can't hear colors.
No.
Right, well, so. Unless you're on some serious drugs, right, Pastor
yes.
Bob? Tell us. No, just
kidding. Colors.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about joy, the joy of the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good thing to talk about.
Our strength.
Yeah, it's good stuff, and probably a little misunderstood what joy is. So let's talk about what it is. I know Rose doesn't want me to move my microphone. I'm so tempted. Just can't help it.
Do what you want.
I just want to move it.
If you want Rose to remain joyful and not reach across the table and hurt you, then yeah. You should
all right. Move the microphone. Well, we'll start with Pastor David.
Oh,
thank God. How does the world, what does the world say about joy?
It would say, I think it would be the idea of happiness. It would be like, hey, do what makes you happy. You know, whoever you are, you have to express that in order to have joy. I think it would just be very simple. It wouldn't be like really an eternal type mindset of joy. It would just be, live your best life. Like, you know, do what makes you happy. Live your truth. That would create joy, I think, you know. And I think a lot of it would be experiential. It would be like, hey, look what I can post. You know, hey, look at the content of my life. You know, look what I did last summer. You know, I'm just kidding. But, you know, look what I did that I can post that, you know, I traveled here. I did this. My life's worth something because of like what is in it. I can rejoice in that. And it would be a comparative joy, probably. It'd be like, it wouldn't just be like, oh, I have $85,000 a year. I'm happy. It's I have $85,000 a year, and that's more than that guy down the street. You know, I think that would be where the joy came from. It was kind of be like winning. And being superior and comparatively, I'm doing well. And so then I can be happy when I'm comparatively better than other people. Those are just some things that I think could define it in our culture.
Nice. What do you think?
Well, I think joy from a world standpoint is very fleeting. Mm. That's the problem with it. And it's as opposed to because of the misinterpretation of what joy is
right.
from a world point of
right.
view. Or as opposed to with God, joy is not fleeting, it's eternal. Mm-hmm. And that's the most significant difference I can think about, is that one is, with God, joy is actually tangible. Mm-hmm. And with the world, what the world would call joy is not tangible, and it doesn't stay. And a lot of times it's kind of smoke and mirrors, and then it goes away. Mm-hmm. It has a promise, and it doesn't deliver.
Sad.
Yeah, it's a their joy can what they consider joy, I believe, in the world, if you have a worldly mindset, can be a very sad thing.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't sustain. Mm. You know, you have a whole world talking about sustainability. Joy is a pretty sustainable type thing since it comes from God. Mm. it was that the joy of the Lord, you know, and so he's eternal.
Yeah.
Everything else is not.
Yeah. I was thinking about this. I don't know that actually people just living in the world have an expectation of joy. I think joy seems like pretty extreme, you know? It's like maybe we talk about it at Christmas time, you know, but I don't think.
Yeah, well, you have a little picture on your wall that says joy in a nice font.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh, I found the joy. Here it is. Put it up on the wall.
Yeah.
We'll take it down later. Good.
Yeah.
True confessions. I hate those little things. I'm just going to say.
We know. We don't like Christmas.
No, it's not the Christmas thing. It's the actual joy thing. Just him mentioning and you mentioning the joy on the wall. I'm just like, oh.
Yeah. I think that most people, they're searching for some measure of some happiness. But I don't think people really, are expecting to be joyful.
No, I think that's a biblical idea, is like rejoice in hope. Mm-hmm. So like hope is intimately related to joy.
Yeah.
So really I'm rejoicing in what I hope in. And if my hope is fleeting, or if my hope is temporal, or if my hope is based on getting something perfect, it's, you know, you're not going to rejoice in that. It's not going to be sustainable. Like you said, you know, like what am I expecting to happen? I'm like very, very, very seldom are my expectations brought to reality so I can rejoice.
Right.
So I, like a real joy would have to not depend on worldly expectations. It would have to depend on more solid expectations.
Yeah. Yeah. I think worldly joy, it's like this, in my mind anyway, it's this extreme emotion, right? Like I'm overjoyed. Like something really spectacular needs to happen for you to actually feel joy, not just like, oh, LOL, that was great, you know, or like,
LOL,
this is great right now, but what's going to happen next? You know, I think joy is, yeah, like you're saying, like it's almost this like unattainable thing that sometimes people have a drive to find, but maybe actually believe that they don't actually believe they can attain. It's an interesting thing.
Absolutely. I actually believe that, like, with joy for myself, when I've experienced joy, is it's very interesting to me because it's not associated with something. Or it's actually, I know it's going to sound strange. This is a true confession, but I was thinking about this earlier because I knew we were going to speak about joy, and I actually did give it a little thought. As opposed to common beliefs in this room. But I thought about it, and I thought, you know, when I experience joy, when I think about those times that I've experienced joy, what I would consider joy, true joy in the Lord, it didn't have anything to do with a thing or a circumstance or something, which was really odd to me. I had never given it that kind of thought. I was like, huh. And so I've found myself, which is really odd, I think, like all of a sudden in a place of joy. For no reason, none at all. Like there was no like reason.
I know it's kinda... think of this picture of you like sitting in the corner, just like smiling.
Oh, no, no, it's kind of weird. No, but the weird thing is, when I thought about this, I realized it's been that way for a long time for me. Like anytime it happens, and I'm thinking to specific times. Mm. I think joy is always there, whether you tap into it, him. Or it is a whole nother thing. But it's really odd. It's strange when you actually, I would challenge people listening to this to think about joy, actual joy in their life. And that, and I know I, when I started thinking, I thought, wow, you've experienced that. It wasn't an emotion and it wasn't based on something happened. Like, because that's the expectation. Oh, if something good happens, I have joy. Mm-hmm. If something bad happens, I don't have joy. Mm-hmm. If I get my way, or, you know, if I compare myself to someone else, like Pastor David was saying, and I come out on top, joy. And like, it's, no, that's not it. It's just him. Yeah. Just experiencing him on in the realm of joy. I believe can come on you suddenly just like that, because I've experienced that, and it's kind of odd. I up till today I've never actually expressed that to anybody. Like I said, this true confession. It's just like, oh yeah, that's what that is. It's like all of a sudden you're there, and it's okay. Like you don't have a reason to be there, and you actually at that moment you don't have a reason to leave there, which is a whole different aspect of this. Wow. So I don't know what this means to you guys. I don't know if you've ever given it. See, unlike some people in this room, I actually thought about this.
Great. Good.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we're kind of moving away from like the world's idea, but what is, like, how does God describe, define, manifest joy? Like what is his definition of joy?
We're all looking your
way. Well, when I was preparing beforehand for this podcast,
some other people in this room.
I'm prepared. I have all these questions.
The verse that came to mind was in Zephaniah 3:17, or it says, "The Lord will rejoice over you with singing over his people." And it's the word that means jump and spin around.
Oh, yeah.
And is this God? Yeah. God's representing himself and his joy as someone just leaping around, dancing, and it's focused on his people.
Yeah.
He says, I'm just so glad that you're here. I'm just so glad that my family is with me and doing well. and it makes him jump for joy. And he was willing to give his life for that, obviously, through Jesus. And that's, you know, joy, it's so relational to God. It's not like, even when he made the world, he's like, yeah, that's good. He was satisfied. But I think his delight came in his people. It says the Lord takes pleasure in his people. His delight comes from his people, and which is amazing. So we know that he is love and he takes delight in the other persons of the Trinity and in the heavenly hosts and then in us, the people that he created. Even before he created, it says in Job that with the sons of God, they all shouted for joy, like at the creation, you know, when the first light came. So it's this idea of like, whoa, like there's more, like, and it's this this idea in God of like, there's more experience ahead, but it's with people, you know, like there's more of this like full life that we have to live together.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. And he's not even taking delight in like, look what I did. You know, look who I beat. I crushed the gods of Egypt. You know, like that's not really his delight. He's like, I brought my people out of slavery. Like I brought you on eagle wings to myself. Because I love what Pastor Bob was saying. Like it's not the same as just being better than other people. The thrill of victory is not joy.
Right.
That's different. I think that's all Satan can ever have. That's all like a fallen person can ever have. Oh, I beat you. Ah. You know, that's the most you can get. You're not going to get this jumping for joy like, whoa, my kids are here. Like that's a completely pure emotion.
Yeah.
So that's my stab at that one.
You just blew my mind with Jesus and God just now. You took the last bit of religion out of my soul.
Oh, well, hopefully.
You delivered me. I'm just thinking about God spinning around going, whoa.
Like, I see him that way a lot, actually, during our praise and worship time.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, I've known that he, you know, sings over us, and but just when you were saying that, this vision of him like going, spinning, and it, like I said, you wrecked my religion right
there. That was in the church notes. Yeah. That was in the church notes.
Yeah.
No.
It just never got the revelation.
I love that you brought that up. Mm-hmm. Like it's the manifestation of his nature, his character. He's so joyful.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I love that about him. Like he's so joyful. And like when people don't understand how joyful he is, I'm like, what God are you serving? Because if he's not joyful, it's not the God of the Bible. He's so joyful.
Yeah.
I love how would you explain godly joy?
Well, now that I have this new revelation,
God is spinning around.
Well, that's too hard a question for me to answer right now in this moment. I'd like to take the fifth on this one.
Godly joy, that was what you're asking about?
Yeah, just like, you know. Mm-hmm.
Can you help me, Pastor David? Because I need
I mean, I think it's just, it's exactly the same as, you know, God's joy in us is we're supposed to take joy in the Lord. Like, rejoice in the Lord, always.
Right.
We rejoice that we get to know him. And you know, how many people really love the Lord just because he's the Lord, just because of his character and his personality? And that's what we rejoice in, that he's with us in everything, even in every trial. You know, that's why we can rejoice in tribulations according to the word, because we just know how faithful he is, and we know his personality. Then we just know intrinsically what an amazing God he is, what an amazing three persons that he is in one. And so I think even we can love what God does for us, or we can fall in love with one attribute of God. He's love. He's sovereign. You know, he's wrath. I don't know if you're weird or something. You know, you can fall in love with one part of him, you know, but it's like, just like his personality is like, you rejoice in your relationship to him. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay. Like, I mean, that's the ideal of joy that like we talked about in the last podcast, like just having sonship with God.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on your game as a Christian, which I'm not, most days I'm not, you know, if your mind is really set on the Lord and you're like, whoa, like, you know, I spent time with God, I rejoiced in God, then I can rejoice in every circumstance that we walk into together.
Yeah.
If I didn't do that, I'm stuck with the world's idea of what joy should be, which is very experiential.
You know? Right.
I don't know. That's probably a lot deeper than that, but I think it's in the Lord. Like, the joy is in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
What do you think?
I'm just kind of blown away here by joy. I don't know. I just get a kick out of God. Yeah. I think he's
amazing.
I don't want to use the word fun.
He invented fun. He invented fun.
Be kind of fun, right? All right. I mean, I get that, you know.
Wow. Listen, but, joy doesn't always have to be fun, but there is fun in it.
No, he's kind of fun.
He is really fun. Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has a great sense of humor.
Right. Apparently he laughs harder than I laugh.
Apparently so.
Just saying, okay. Those people out there are always like, Pastor Bob laughs too loud. It's like, get over it. And when God starts laughing from the heavens, it's going to hurt a little.
Yeah. Psalm 2.
Are you going to ask me this question again?
No, I won't.
Oh,
I
thank
won't.
God.
We'll just move on. I just, you know, because I understand, you know, it's like, well, joy is not an emotion. And it's not. It is really a manifestation of the nature of God. It's delight, right? Mm-hmm. Which is choosing to delight in something, to rejoice in something, to glory in something, to like put your hope in something. There's a effort of the will to exercise joy, right? Yeah. Just like love or peace or any other quality of who God is. Mm-hmm. But there are also times, I mean, it does bring along emotions also.
Oh yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that, that shouldn't be the defining characteristic, but it is included. You know, it's like, totally. We're not just doomed to live a horrible life of drudgery and like, I have joy.
No, I did a message on this where like the word for when Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness is this word. Gladness is this word for like just ecstatic clapping and rejoicing, which goes back to that spinning around thing. Right. So I totally think, you know, if there's never emotions there,
right?
Like, this is my joy. You're like, okay.
Yeah. I'm so joyful.
I don't know.
Yeah. But I do think you're right. Like, joy is linked with hope. There's a hope. There's an anticipation of good coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I like what you're saying. Like, it's not just like God will do this for me or he'll do that for me. Like, the good is him.
Yeah,
there's an anticipation of him.
That's right.
Well, I think this the whole, you know, as we know biblically, love, joy, and peace, and the Holy Spirit. I actually look at joy like the glue that pulls all of it together. Because when you're joyful, it's pretty quick. You're going to be understanding or partaking of God's love and understanding his love toward people. And at the same time, you'll actually understand the peace of God. Like, it's a place you can enter into. So like I said, it seems to me like sometimes it's a glue that just like, if you go there first, if you just allow yourself to go there and you don't have the misconception that it has to be happy, right? Or just emotional. Because I think there's emotion that goes with it, for sure. You know, but it's beyond the emotion. Yes. It's part of his character. It's part of who he is. And once you allow yourself to step into joy, lots of other things about God come into play, right? Because like you said, he rejoices over us. Mm-hmm. He's like, that's who he is. Like, why wouldn't he? Like, why wouldn't, and I would like, you know, challenge anybody listening too, is like, why wouldn't the Lord rejoice over you? Is it because you're not good enough? Is it because you don't do?
Yeah, I was
going to
say, I could think of a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
But that's looking at me
through
my eyes.
Through your eyes.
Not looking at Christ.
Right. Because he's looking at the joy that, you know, set before him. And there was a lot that went he had to go through for that. And he's looking at your possibility and who you are to him.
Right.
And so the best I can think of that is we get little glimpses of this on earth in natural things, but, you know, they're kind of different. You know, like with your children, you know, sometimes you just see little things, you know, and they can be in the middle of a mess. And then there's this one thing you're like, you sense the joy, you know, because you know who they are and you're like, they tap into that one thing. You go, yeah. And so you have to understand as a child of God that he is, you know, he did pay everything for you and he believes in you. Now, if we believe in ourselves as much as God believed in us, we'd be all set right now. You know what I'm saying? Right. We would be joyful probably 24/7. And seriously. Yeah. So I think it's really a perspective that God, you know, God, I think, looks at us through his eyes of faith and his joy.
Yeah.
Like, he actually looks at, I think that's how he wants to perceive us. And because he's, like I said, love, joy, peace. I mean, you're getting all of him at once. But I think he wants that. Mm-hmm. It's not like he desires, You know, if he's not willing that any should perish, I mean, it sounds like he like wants to be on good terms.
No, yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah,
that's completely. We forget that about God. Mm. You know, and I realize it gets lost in sin. You know, when you're in sin and you're having issues and, you know, it all of that part of God like becomes very blurry and goes away.
Yeah,
you
it does.
You know what I mean? You're like you that separation thing. And meanwhile, God's like, all right, let's how about we just start that I rejoice over you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because of and it may not even have anything to do with you. It's because of what my son did for you.
Right.
Right. And so we take it out of the realm because mm-hmm. it gives you an opening to come back to God.
That's right.
Right. It just gives you that, like, because if you don't have that, you're just going to keep yourself in a little prison, or the people will keep you in that prison for you, and you'll just get stuck there. But God's like, no, I can open this up for you. I can let you know how much I care about, I love you, like the love that isn't the, oh, I feel good about you today, or the love you did good today, and I joy over you, not because of everything you're just, you know, you did that thing just so perfect. It's like, no, I joy over you because, like, you're mine.
That's right. Good.
And it's who he is. I think that's the thing, you know, it's like God, you know, he loves us not because we are deserving of it, but it's because it's his nature. It's who he is. He cannot be anything different than that. And it's the same way with joy, you know, like he rejoices over us, not because maybe we're all that great, but because it's his nature to be joyful, you know? And I think it's like the same thing for us. Like we teach this in our spirit classes, you know, like about like we love not because of someone's performance. It doesn't depend on them. If it depended on them,
right,
then it would be fleeting and up and down, always changing, never dependable. Yeah. But because it depends on your nature, that you are love, you are loving the same way God is, you can love at all times. And I think it's the same way with joy. It doesn't depend on a situation or a circumstance, because if it did, it would always be up and down. You'd have no stability in your life. You would have no control. But because our nature is to be like God is and he's joyful, we can be joyful.
So much success in that too, because if all of your success depends on you know, how you perform and do things and not on the nature of God that's in you and how he looks at you, you can have a pretty sad life with God and in Christianity. You just won't have anything. You just be always like, oh, I can't measure up. I'm not this, I'm not that. And meanwhile, if you're looking through the eyes of joy, and I do mean eyes, that you're seeing God for who he is, and you're recognizing he's seeing you for who he is. He's made you and who he's making you, and not just stuck in your circumstance, not just stuck in what you did just then. Oh, there's maybe consequence. I get all that part, but it goes beyond that, because you have an eternal connection with God. Like we said earlier, joy has an eternal component, not like just happy, which is a fleeting component.
Did you want to say something?
Well, I was just thinking that, like I said, you rejoice in hope. So as long as you have hope, you can rejoice. Uh-huh. And you know, in 1 Corinthians 13, it defines love. Right? It says love hopes all things, right? And God is love. So God always has hope. Like while there's life, there's hope. Like, and God has hope for all these circumstances, all these people, so he can rejoice in you. And like that joy can come into the prison you're talking about, like the prison of your guilt and your condemnation. Mm-hmm. He can rejoice over you in that moment. Like even David said this in the Psalms, that he rescued me because he delighted in me. Mm-hmm. And David did some bad stuff, you know, but he knew God delighted in him. Yeah. God chose him and came to him and was delighting in him. And I think that, you know, whenever you're in a prison of like religion, of earning, you have no joy. Yeah. There's no place for joy. Mm-hmm. You have to actually earn your way out of that prison before you allow yourself to feel joy or to think God could look at you with any delight. But God breaks into the prison and rejoices over you. Mm-hmm. And he's like, come on out, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the gospel versus the law, you know, versus our own condemnation of ourselves or Satan's condemnation of us. There's just so much about God's joy in us and his hope for us, which is never, you know, he's always in the game. Like he always, he's always like ready to fight for you.
When you said that, it just reminded me of like Peter in the prison and mm-hmm. they're rejoicing. And, you know, if Peter was thinking about his screw ups with God, which were duly noted in the Bible, like our screw ups aren't noted in the Bible. Like, thank God for those. But poor Peter, you know, he's like, oh, they're going to put that in eternity.
You know, let's not include that in the canon. Yeah,
it's like everybody who reads the Bible gets to know this. And yet he's like, if he had that in his mind, what's he doing in that prison when, you know, God's like, oh, yeah, send an angel. Let's pop this guy right out now. You know, it's like, yeah. And his joy was, I mean, he didn't need to be released to have the joy.
Yeah, he just saw James get killed and he was still rejoicing.
Yes. Yes.
It's crazy. I don't know. I'm just thinking when you were talking about like, you were talking about perspective. I'm thinking like how much joy has to do with what we choose to look at, what we choose to focus on, what we choose to like lock eyes with in some ways, you know, it's like, and I was thinking about like the, you know, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, like the challenge of what are you looking at? Cause I think that for me anyway, some of the challenges to walking with joy is I'm looking at all these things that I don't see or things that I wished happened or things that I'm like, oh, this would be pretty good except for that. Or, you know, it's like this focus on what could be better. Why isn't it better? Why didn't this happen? Why didn't that happen? Which I is like the opposite of joy, you know, like when it says that Jesus, you know, I know we use the scripture, like for the joy set before him. Right. But I just was thinking about like, he actually put it before him, like it was set before him. Like he was looking at something, you know, it wasn't like, it was just like way like, oh, it's in front of me somewhere. It was like, I think it was actually like what he looked at and what he focused on more than anything else. And so I'm just like, I think there's a key in this to walking in joy, actual joy, not emotional coming and going, but like, what am I choosing to look at? Sure. And how does that determine how I'm walking forward?
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
I mean,
delivered right now.
No, it's true. Like
we're all got delivered here.
Think about it though. Like you walk up to like Yosemite or the Grand Canyon and you look at it. And what do you feel? You go, oh, like all of a sudden you feel joy.
Yeah.
Because you're outside of yourself and you looked at something that could bear the weight of your misery, right? You looked at something. Yeah, you looked, you actually put
greater
it
greater than my
you were yeah. But you were delivered by the beauty of it, you know? And so it is that it's, you know, it's looking at God instead of an idol, you know. Like if you look at an idol, it keeps you in bondage because you become like the idol, which has no joy. You know, you look at the real God, he has a lot of joy. And like he's like Pastor Bob was getting the revelation of God celebrating, and it was helping him, you know, because it was something real that that, you know, it helps us get outside ourselves and our conception of what reality is. And then there's something higher. There's something that we can hope for.
Yeah, I think also when you talk about you know, Jesus and obviously the prophets talking about him for the joy set before him, you know, endured the cross and, you know, he's
despising
the shame. But the reality is what he put before him was the Father. Like that, the reality of that is because that's the joy. He joyed in the Father.
Us. And that's, like you were saying, like the joy of relationship.
Right. And that's the weird part about it is that do we see the Lord as our joy? Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, do we see ourselves as his joy? Right? And that's the hard part, right? That's the part. But that's what he sees us as, and which is kind of weird, right? And so, and I know there's some, I can feel the religious spirits all the way through the camera, all the way out.
Religion hates joy. I'm at my most religious, I hate joy.
I hate it so much. Because I feel people like, well, what about when you did this? And what about if I did that? Just like,
God doesn't rejoice.
Of course,
He's more dignified.
Right. Yes, he doesn't. He doesn't rejoice over that. He has no mercy.
No.
He has no grace. It's like, if he didn't have that for you, you'd be dead on arrival. you wouldn't have gotten past.
Who are the people? Who are the people that he said he rejoiced over was singing?
Yes.
Ancient Israel. Right. So go back and read that, Bible people.
I'm one of you. I understand. Yeah. I understand what's going through your mind.
But the deal is that how you get past that, and you know, Liz is getting a revelation too in this process, like or deliverance. I don't know what it is, but we should, because when you start to actually tap into God, that part of God, it brings you into a whole different place with Him.
Right.
I mean, it has to, because you're actually seeing Him for who He is. And you cannot see Him for who He is without then actually seeing who you are and your possibilities.
Yeah.
Because that's how He sees us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And like I said, I feel that whole religious thing about, oh, but what about the consequences and what about, yeah, this, that stuff. And, you know, and yet there's God. And he's got this
grace. Something called the cross that the paid cross for those consequences.
For some of that. And yes. And yeah, there's things that are going to happen and you're going to have to pay for those things and in this life possibly.
Yeah.
But we would think there's actually no redemption and no joy for somebody once they sin. Like you sinned, you're done. You know, you're on the, you're like, which would mean everybody's there. Like, that's the deal. There's nobody can go, oh, them.
Yeah.
Them. They're the sinners.
I think this is one of the things, though. I think this is one of the things that keeps us out of joy is that we're waiting for everything to be fixed first.
Mm.
Right? Like, I need to be fixed. You need to be fixed. Like, everything. Let's deal with all the problems, and then we can have joy. And until then, we really need to focus in on the things that need to be better. You know? I don't want to. As I was saying it, I was like, this is going to
take me
somewhere.
That got me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but really, like, and like, okay, well, we can't have joy because look at the state of the world. Like, look at what's happening in the world. How could we be joyful in this? Look at what's happening with, you know, Christians being persecuted. Look, like, all the things that are happening, how can there be joy in the middle of that? Mm. But like, as we're talking, like, no, this is actually the supernatural life of God, is that there's all these things. And in the middle of that, there's joy because you are not contained by circumstances. You are not, your life is not dictated by what's going on around you. The ability to be godlike is not determined by what is right or what is wrong around you, what's happening, or even in your own life. Like, there's a belief and a faith that goes beyond the realities that we see.
I would say not only in the middle of that, but before that and after that.
Yeah.
God, that's
all around it.
It's God. And it's he's joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We lost Pastor David.
We just lost him. No, I'm in it for sure.
Poor guy.
I'm waiting for the next question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doing something with the Holy Spirit.
Where does joy come from, Pastor David? Speaking of,
he's doing something with the Holy Spirit.
From the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Never spoke like that.
No, because it's from God. Like, it's not something that's natural. It's definitely supernatural. So it's something that God infuses into us. And like you said, when we catch a glimpse of who He really is, I think that's what's designed to bring us joy, that we see the one we were created for. We worship Him. That's supposed to yield joy, you know. And if we're not worshiping, we're not praising, we're not thanking God, our joy is going to be sorely lacking. If we're not actually expressing our joy and rejoicing in the Lord, how can you say you're not rejoicing? Like, it's right. Nothing. Mm-hmm. You might say like, yes, I have the joy of the Lord, but it's trapped in a container and you're not activating that. Like, you're not exercising your joy. You're not taking steps that are going to bring you to joy. You're not having the mindset that notices the things, like you said, like, what are you looking at? Like, you're noticing the things that could bring you joy. Mm-hmm. Instead, you're noticing everything that will destroy your joy. Right. So yeah, it's from the Holy Spirit. You can cultivate that through listening to the Holy Spirit. You can cultivate that through the Word of God. You can cultivate that through evangelism. You lead someone to Jesus, you'll be very joyful. You'll share the joy of heaven. So again, you're sharing God's joy. Like, that's a perfect example. God has joy. All the angels in heaven have joy when one sinner repents.
Yeah.
They're sharing God's joy, the joy of a father that said, my son, he asked for the inheritance, he cut me loose, but now he's home, you know?
Right.
That's what they're sharing. They're not like, well, that was cool how I was able to win that argument and make that person come to Jesus. Again, that's the religious counterfeit of joy. I was able to memorize that Bible verse. That's different than, whoa, I have take joy in this Bible verse. His word is the joy and rejoicing of my heart.
Yes.
For I am called by his name. Mm-hmm. For I am called by his name. It's the relational element that comes in. So it's not just the religious thrill of accomplishment. Yeah. It's different.
Well, like I keep saying, Jesus is joy. His word is the joy and rejoicing of my heart. He is joy. And so it's him. And so there's, if we can't look at joy as something I either earn or, you know, I attain to, it's like, that's him. And so he's decided to share himself with us.
Yeah.
And that's
the man of sorrows was the man of joy.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The scripture came to my mind, and then I'd like you to speak to it if you can.
Oh no.
Okay.
since I'm
going off all, I'm like going way far away from all the questions you prepared for. So we're just, going along here. No, it just came to my mind when David was talking about, evangelism and other people and like delighting in that and seeing them. It's really the fathering aspect, but you know, the scripture that says like, I have no greater joy than hearing that my children walk in truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is an aspect of joy that only comes out. It doesn't have anything to do with what's happening with you. It has everything to do with what's happening with children and people, that spiritual children. I just want you to speak to that.
Yeah, I think that we experience that actually. I think you experience that when you're discipling people. I think you're experiencing that when you're shepherding people at some realms where you see them, just like I said, like get no greater joy than to see them walking in the truth because they are walking in him.
Mm-hmm.
That means they're experiencing him directly. It didn't really have a whole heck of a lot to do with you. It's like, oh, because I think we're in, you know, it's in him we live, move, have, or make. It's, you know, we're going to, any joy we have is going to come because we're in him,
mm-hmm.
right? We're connected with him and his heart, and we're experiencing how he experiences. So when we see somebody accepting the truth, like you said, rejoicing with the angels in heaven because someone's accepted their savior, mm-hmm. you get, I don't know about you, but when that happens, you get a little supercharged. I don't know,
I
don't know what that means to anybody, but you feel like this, like, whoop, like what happened there? You're sharing with them. Yeah. And so there's this, that's the rejoicing and the joy of your heart. I don't know if I've...
I just wanted to, like I said, just came to my mind.
You can press it a little further.
As a natural father and as a spiritual father, it does something when you see...
Yeah.
And I know God gets, he gets credit. He does most of the work, but you do play a part in that. You know, when you father someone, you play a part in that.
A little bit,
it's not just Jesus and them alone in a room. You know, like you're investing yourself in that. There's a giving that happens there. Yes. I just wanted to press on you a little bit more about that because I also believe it speaks to somewhat of, you know, like the joy of the Lord is my strength. I think there's a, like you said, like there's an infusion.
There's an infusion. There's also this interesting satisfaction that comes with that. Mm. Like there's like a settling, like, oh, this is good.
Mm.
You know, that, it's like Paul writing, I see it, my children, you know, that they're pursuing God. They're moving along with him. That was the rejoicing of his heart, if you will. It's like, oh yeah. So I think there's from a fathering aspect, when your children, spiritual or natural, are moving in realms with God, and in natural things too, I think you see that too. There's a settling of your heart, like, okay, all right, I did what my part was at least, and it's there's fruit. So you're seeing the fruit of the Holy Spirit along with this. So yeah, it's an interesting thing. What happens? I think we've all experienced that when you go, okay. There's not a pride thing in there either. Right. When you actually experience that, you're like, wow, I actually partnered with God.
Mm-hmm.
And like he just did this. I mean, he used my life possibly, or maybe what I know or how I am toward somebody, my willingness to walk with them. And then like fruit came of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, like you were saying, when you father somebody, there's a fruit that's apparent. And so it's the same thing spiritually. It's like mm-hmm. there's a satisfaction because that's what it's all about. It's what's coming out of that that brings rejoicing, brings joy into your heart. But like I said, for me, if you want to ask personally, there's a weird kind of a, and I say weird, it's like a settling, like, okay, this is good. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you know, you did what you were supposed to do.
Does that strengthen you to keep going? Like, or to
absolutely. Again? Absolutely. And the other side of that is it can be pretty demoralizing.
Yeah. We'll talk about that another day.
Well, yeah. Well, that's because you're taking your eyes off the joy. Right. It's obvious, right? You're going to the, because, you know, we don't know, right? We actually don't know what will happen. You know, it's like that whole, you know, train up a child in a way they should go. When they're old, they shall not depart. I don't think that's a guarantee. They're never going to.
That's in Proverbs. It's not. I shouldn't say this. Yeah, never mind. If it's your promise, it's your promise.
Yeah, it's not. It's not a guarantee. I get that. It's mm-hmm. It's a possibility. You know, and it's and so I know we like to look at it like it's guaranteed. It's like, no, they're free will people. Of course, they have a choice, but you did your part. But there's a satisfaction when you have done what you could,
right?
And then all of a sudden you see the fruit of it. You're like, oh yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah,
this is good.
Yeah,
and so yeah, there's that part of it, and there is a like I said, that when you take your eyes off God, there's a disappointment too mm-hmm. when you don't see it the way you think it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
I think that's when you depart from the joy, is because you had your own little expectation of what it was supposed to be, and it didn't turn out to be that.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to press on that a little bit because mm-hmm. I think this is actually a key for some people who maybe are like, I don't totally get the joy thing, and I don't know how to get, like, I understand mm-hmm. it's a fruit of the Spirit. Like, the mentally we have the understanding of, like, I know this is the fruit of the Spirit, it's the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, like, we know the scriptures. But sometimes but sometimes they're like, I don't know how to actually live this and walk this out. But I do think this is a key, is that one of the ways you can find joy is actually to father and mother other people. I think sometimes we get so inwardly focused and we're like trying to find joy within ourselves, and we're trying to drum it up and make it happen. And actually the key is, like, if the word is saying, like, I have no greater joy than to see that my children, like, are walking in truth. Like, that is something, like, be a father and a mother, like, in the natural, yes, but spiritually, like, that is a method for finding joy, I would say. And then there's an infusion of strength. Like, the word is true that joy brings strength to us. It brings that, like, oh, I can keep going. Yes, things may be hard. I may be seeing disappointment, but there is a joy that feeds me and sustains me and spurs me on to keep believing in spite of testing and in spite of heaviness, you know. But I just wanted to, like, put that out there as a key. Absolutely. For people, that sometimes we're not mm-hmm. experiencing joy because we're not outside of ourselves and we're not actually pouring into other people, and there's no fruit of joy that way.
Yes.
Yeah. I also think that joy always has to be expressed, and the Bible portrays that. I'm going to try something here. Okay. So the things that make you really, I've never said this before. Hopefully it's good. All right. You know, the things that really make you happy are, like, you're really happy when you have something to boast about. Like, right. That's when you're really joyful. You're like, I'm going to boast about something right now. And God boasts about stuff. And he boasts about us. He boasts about his kids. He boasts about, yes, his victories, but for the sake of his name and for nations coming to him and thing. Paul boasted about his work in the gospel. Uh-huh. He's like, I've extended it all the way to Spain. Like, I worked harder than anyone, but it was the Lord. It was his grace. He said, we're the true circumcision. We glory and we boast in Christ, you know, not in the flesh. We boast in God. And I think, like, if you have some joy in others or in God, mm-hmm. when you boast about it, it gets greater. Like, when you share it and you testify about it, it will actually complete your joy. Like, it, again, in 1 John, it says, we're writing these things to you so our joy can be complete. Mm-hmm. The sharing of the joy that he had completed his joy.
Right.
So if you're like, oh, cool, I attained joy, I'm feeling good today, I'm feeling a serenity, you know, I read Jesus Calling this morning and now I feel very joyful. Well, good. That's a good opening block. And now tell somebody about that.
boast about it. You know, okay, like you poured into someone, like you're raising these spiritual sons and daughters and disciples. Like I could boast about some people right now that I love and be like, these people are amazing. You know, I'm like, and I would be really happy if I could tell you guys about them. I'm not taking, like Pastor Bob said, like I'm not taking credit for them. I just really am proud of them and I just want to boast in them and I take joy in them. Same thing with my daughters. Like, I'm just like, wow, they're funny. They're awesome. They're great kids, you know, and I want to boast in them, and that's what increases my joy. Mm-hmm. So that would be a great thing for people to take the things that they have a little bit of joy and start like boasting in a good way. Mm-hmm. The world is all about boasting just about yourself and how great right. your life is, which is why it's ultimately unsatisfying mm-hmm. because someone else always has a better life. Well, maybe not. I don't know. But like, if you know, they do. Trust me, they have a better life than you. But you know, in God, you have something to boast about. So anyway, I don't know if that worked or not, but that's. I feel like that's important. That boasting side for joy. Yeah.
I don't want to boast about this.
Because yeah. I mean, okay. Paul, a lot of times that's how he frames rejoicing. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to boast in God right now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to boast about the work I did in the Lord. Like, he's like, he just goes at it, you know?
Yeah, I do think, I just, when you were talking about like, oh, the times of my life when I've been joyful, and I was like, trying to think. Like,
it's too ethereal for you.
No, I'm just thinking about like, when did I feel the most joyful, you know? And it really always has to do with when I see someone that I love, like making a decision, you know, to pursue the Lord, mm-hmm. or like making it like, so when I see someone come back into church and they like give their life over to the Lord, like those moments are so joyful.
Well, we've all experienced like, that on other levels. Like, you know, we offer deliverance for people who come to our church. Right. They require it and want that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes years later, you know, I've had people come up years later and go, you know, you prayed for me back, da, 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 da. And I, you know, God just delivered me. And it brings this kind of like, oh,
right.
Man, God, you are so good.
That's awesome.
Like, you're so awesome that you helped this person like that. Like, it went so far beyond what I could have imagined.
Exactly.
Like that's
when it has to do with him.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
Because so you're not oh man, that was a good deliverance.
Oh yeah, yeah. I really was.
I rejoice in myself.
I was on my game that day.
I got that demon to tell me its name.
That's it. Most of the time, it's you went into that deliverance prayer going, I don't know if this is gonna work. Yeah.
No, it is that way though. Like someone comes up like, hey, you gave this prophetic word, and this has happened, and this has happened, and like, and it's never like. Like, oh man, that was so good. You know, it's like, no, God, you're so like, it's such a joyful thing because it's so far beyond you.
Oh yeah.
And you're so aware of it. You're so aware that
you couldn't have done it.
This is so far beyond me, but it's amazing and it's joyful. It's pure. There's like this pure joy when like the life of God is manifested in someone's life and there's a reality of him that they come to, like a revelation of him that comes to them.
And I think where you get connected with God there is that he used you. Mm-hmm. Like you might not even known it all that time or recognize it. All of a sudden that spark happens.
Yeah.
Like I was saying earlier, like all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay. All right.
It shows you.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah, it's kind of interesting. Somebody did that to me yesterday. They actually came and they mentioned to me that I didn't know it when it happened, to be honest with you. But I had met with them and just spoke. It wasn't a deliverance. Maybe it was for them actually in some ways. And they just came and told me that. They said, you don't know, like this, when we were just together and you mentioned this one thing to me, they said, it just like something happened in me, like a spark. And I was like, really? You know, I mean, I knew God was there, but I didn't know what the heck he was up to. Like, he's like, he's God, you know, but it was interesting when he said that I thought, wow, that's amazing. That's, it, you know, that you get used that way.
So unaware.
Like, it's okay. It's okay, actually. Yeah, I do my best work when I don't know what I'm doing. Sure.
Yeah, we all do.
Apparently.
Same.
Yeah, God's like, I know. He's like, if you could get out of the way, we could
just
do
accept that you don't know what you're doing any of the time that you're doing anything.
Right.
It gets to go a lot faster.
He's like, the shovel wants to jump up and do the shoveling itself. He's like, I'm.
Yeah. Like when they come back and they're like, we're rejoicing because the spirits are subject to us. Right. And he's like, don't stop rejoicing, but let me tell you what this means. It means that your names are written in heaven. Right. It means you're mine, you know?
Yeah.
So that's ultimately what we're rejoicing in. It's not like I was able to, you know, whatever. It's not that. Where it's like, wow, I belong to the Lord. He does use me.
Uh-huh.
Right.
It's an amazing thing. Like,
yeah.
He just used me to do this thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you just see the goodness of the Lord, you know, and the joy of the Lord on, like, just rejoicing over those people. Like, he's just cares for them so much that he's, like, taken them and done what nobody else could do for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just, yeah. It's great, actually.
Yeah.
I like it. Did we hit with some joy in
this?
It was kind of weird. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right to be joyful.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Always.
Yeah.
And again, I say rejoice.
All right, let's sing it. We get the worship leader.
Yeah.
All right. Any parting thoughts, Pastor David?
Yeah, just to rejoice in authenticity as well, you know, because I think, you know, there's people that aren't rejoicing when you're rejoicing, you know, so it says that rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And that doesn't mean you lose your joy. It means that you're aware, you know, of the needs of others and you help them. I believe that honestly, too, somebody's maybe listening that is grieving, you know, and is suffering and is like, I don't, where's the joy? Well, it's actually through the negative emotion. It's through being honest with that, because the Bible says weeping will endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Mm-hmm. So you can't skip the step, you know? So you have to actually be authentic in everything that you deal with. And God is the same. Obviously, he weeps and grieves. I've been studying Jeremiah, and it's just it's mind-blowing how much he grieves. But he comes through to joy, you know? And so I think for people listening to that, like, it's not just about skipping the grief and, you know, putting on your Christian face and just saying, all right, hallelujah, brother. You know, it's like, it's not that. It's like, it's actually dealing with it and grieving through it and letting him bring an authentic joy in return. So like, you know, that deals with, you know, our own walk, but also like with others, being aware of the people that, you know, they don't really want you to sing songs to a broken heart. Like they want you to sit with them and associate with the lowly state of that person. And, you know, be like Job's friends before they started talking, not after they started talking. They sat quiet for 7 days. That was the right thing that they did. So that was just the last thought, that like, all this is amazing. And like, it will happen even for the person that's grieving. You know, your grief isn't the end of the story. Like, there really is joy at the end of it. And we want to help people move through to that, not just be like, oh, I'm happy, so done. You know, like, we want to help other people do that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
yeah.
What do you think, Pastor Bob?
Well, I think in closing that there's a joy there. It's him for you, and you can put him on just like a coat. You can just put him on and be touched by him if you'll allow that in your life. You just accept him for who he is, that you'll just put him on, and it will change. It can change your whole circumstances. You could be out. I think it was like, you can be like out in the bitter cold and someone came and gave you a big, you know, one of those weighted blankets, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right?
You feel joyful just doing that, right? You put that on and all of a sudden you're covered. Mm. Yeah. And because you've received. Mm. And so, yeah, I think if someone's out there listening, they should receive the joy of the Lord.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.